Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Peyton Jones guides us through the Old Testament book of Leviticus. Now to Pastor Peyton.
Leviticus chapter 10 today on Through the Word. It's time to break out the body bags because bodies hit the floor inside the tabernacle today. Chapter 10 opens up with us arriving to the scene of the crime, the bodies strewn all over, laying just as they fell. But verse 1 tells us what happened. Now, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, laid incense on it, and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. If anyone thought God was just messing around when he told them to be careful, they weren't thinking that anymore. God meant business. A careful look at verse 1 doesn't shed much light on what unauthorized fire means, but it does tell us that it was incense which he had not commanded. Let's inspect the scene and investigate the evidence to try to figure out a little bit of what happened. One of the possibilities was that the incense that they used was wrong. The incense was put in a special censer on a chain. The censer was a container where coals from the altar were placed inside and incense was placed on top of those coals, and the priests would wave it around on a chain as they went inside the tent of meeting or the tabernacle, and the smoke would fill the space inside the tent. It was meant to represent the prayers of the people rising to heaven. Now, it needed to be a certain mixture, and the recipe was given in Exodus. It was only to be burned inside the tabernacle. In fact, God had forbidden it to be used anywhere else. Also, the coal had to come from the altar. It's possible that Nadab and Abihu filled the censer with coals from another place, maybe somewhere more convenient. We're not sure. We're just told that they did what they felt like instead of what the Lord commanded. That was a big deal. 11 times in chapter 8 and 9, Leviticus uses the phrase, "the Lord commanded," and even splices in the warning, "keep the charge of the Lord so you may not die, for so I have commanded." Here we see the consequences of disobedience, and Nadab and Abihu themselves become the sacrifices that God demands for disobedience. Verse 2 says, "Fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them." They themselves literally became the whole burnt offerings, all uncleanness burnt away, and the holy place purified. Chapter 10 serves as a gateway to chapters 11 through 15, which will go on to spell out the difference between what is clean and unclean. Chapter 10 is telling us the importance of getting that right. Verse 3 says, "Then Moses said to Aaron, 'This is what the Lord has said. Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified. And before all the people, I will be glorified.' And Aaron held his peace." This is a little bit stronger than a command. This is a demand. God is demanding that his people honor him, glorify him, and know that he is holy. That is not an option. As the scripture says, "For without holiness, no one shall see the Lord." God is staking his territory here. He's telling them, back off. This is not up for discussion. This is essential. Verse 4 through 7 tells Aaron's cousin, who would replace Nadab and Abihu, what to do and how to mourn. Number 1, they're told to carry the bodies away in their coats, being careful not to touch them, in verse 5. That would have made them unclean to touch a dead body. Number 2, they were told not to let the hair of their heads hang down or to tear their clothes. Their heads were to be in a turban, and their clothes were special garments that they wore when they served the Lord, verse 6. Number 3, God says, "Let others mourn and do not leave the tent of meeting, lest you die." Verse 7 tells us, "And they did according to the word of the Lord." 2 deaths was enough for the day. Verse 8 through 11 might start to shed some light on what went wrong and why Nadab and Abihu got careless. In verse 9, God says, "Drink no wine or strong drink, Aaron, you and your sons with you, when you go into the tent of meeting, lest you die." It appears that alcohol was involved somehow. Funny how at a crime scene, that seems to explain so much and is one of the first questions a detective asks, was there alcohol involved? Nevertheless, it seemed to make Nadab and Abihu careless. Moving on, verse 12 through 15 tells Aaron's cousins Eleazar and Ithamar that they need to eat the sacrifices that were left there by Nadab and Abihu, and that it's going to be a part of the rest of their lives and that of their sons. They are now in the family business. Verse 13 starts with a panic, however, when Moses discovers that rather than Aaron eating his portion of the sin offering as God commanded, Aaron took the sin offering and burned the whole carcass upon the altar as if it was a whole burnt offering. You can hear the frustration and fear in Moses' voice as he says in verse 17, "Why have you not eaten the sin offering in the place of the sanctuary, since it is a thing most holy and has been given to you that you may bear the iniquity of the congregation to make atonement for it?" Now Moses fears that one sin has compounded upon another, that God is still being disobeyed and further wrath is going to be invoked against Aaron and the people. Verse 18 explains that the blood wasn't brought into the sanctuary to be offered for the people's sin. That means it wasn't splashed against the altar. Moses knows this is bad. Aaron's response is human and demonstrates that God is a gracious God. The fact that Aaron is still breathing air in his lungs demonstrates that God understands. When his sons became careless and got drunk before offering the sacrifice, God acts swiftly in judgment. But when Aaron loses his appetite and can't bring himself to eat because he's mourning the death of his two sons, he burns the whole carcass so he doesn't commit another sin of letting the meat rot. We're told in verse 20, when Moses heard, he approved. We can assume the God who is much more gracious than Moses approved too. God is, after all, a gracious God. This was all pointing to Jesus, and if they got this wrong, they would never understand what he had come to do. Remember, God says he was jealous for his glory. You may remember that in the New Testament, God also dropped Ananias and Sapphira in the dirt for offering to God something that he hadn't commanded, half-truths and hypocrisy. Acts 5 verse 11 tells us great fear fell upon the whole church and upon all who heard these things. Contrary to what many people may tell you about God, a little reverent fear can be a good thing in the right dose. Although the blood of Jesus washes us clean from all sin, Hebrews still warns us in chapter 10, verse 26 to 31, "For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has spurned the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God." Although God is a gracious God, those passages are put there to have the same effect on us as Nadab and Abihu did on Israel, or Ananias and Sapphira did on the early church. God wasn't messing around, and neither should we. Read Leviticus chapter 10 today, and as you do, thank God for sending Jesus to absorb our wrath.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Peyton Jones is the co-host of the Church Planter Podcast and author of the book Church Zero. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.